Welcome back to Left, Right and Center after Chandrayaan, which continues to do brilliantly on the surface of the moon with the Pragyan rover taking pictures of the Vikram lander. It's time to focus on the next big launch that comes up on Saturday morning with the Aditya mission set to blast off. What is the Aditya mission? Why is the sun ISRO's big focus? There is a chance, and this is why we are discussing this for some really exciting science. And we'll be sharing all of those details, but remember, Saturday morning before at about 11 or a little after that is when the PSLV rocket with Aditya blasts off. So, some details. The moon done, now the sun. What is Aditya L1? It is India's first mission to the sun. It's a 400 crore rupee project for a 1500 kilogram robotic satellite to study the sun. Aditya will look out for solar storms and solar flares. It'll study the sun from a distance of 1.5 million kilometers. It'll be placed in the sun's halo orbit at Lagrange point L1. So L1 actually stands for Lagrange point. And we'll talk about what that means. Aditya will delve deeper into less studied solar science. It'll observe the sun's photosphere, the chromosphere and the corona. It'll study how the sun's coronal heating works. It'll identify how solar eruptive events happen. It'll study solar wind space weather. Well, joining us now, Narendra Bhandari, the space scientist, and Dipankar Banerjee, the director of the Aryabhatta Research Institute of Observational Scientists. I think, Mr. Banerjee, what is interesting is that it's not just a satellite. It's a full-fledged space facility, which is actually doing a lot more than just what a satellite does. It is an observatory-class vehicle, isn't that right? So it's a big difference.
That's absolutely right. So it's called the observatory class mission. So we have observatory in the ground, and for 100 years we have been looking at the sun from different observatories in India, namely the Kodaikanal Observatory or the Udaipur Solar Observatory or say Aryabhatta Research Institute at Nainital. But this is a grand opportunity for the Indian solar community. First time we are able to go to space. And normally, you know, the space agencies try out with the small satellite program and near-Earth, you know, missions. But we are so lucky that ISRO has given us this huge opportunity to go to Lagrange 1 point. And as you mentioned, Lagrange 1 point is 1.5 million kilometers away from the Earth. And it is a perfect vantage point to look at the sun continuously. So it allows us to, you know, really study the sun for a longer period, because once you reach Lagrange point, it is also expected that the satellite will live much longer, because satellite needs only very little fuel to maintain its orbit around the Lagrange 1 point. So we'll be actually making a big halo orbit around this Lagrange 1 point, and we'll be continuously looking at the sun. And then this is, again, a huge opportunity. From that space platform, we are going to look at the sun, and we will have a combination of instruments we call remote sensing and in situ. Remote sensing means we have certain telescopes will be remotely looking at the sun and will be recording the images and the particles which are coming from the sun, and will sense and try to get an estimate about the temperature, about the pressure, the density of the different layers in the solar atmosphere, and study all these, you know, you mentioned these dynamic events which happens in the solar atmosphere, namely the solar flares or the huge ejecta which comes called coronal mass ejections. So these are these four, you know, remote sensing instruments. Again, the interesting thing is we are going to have multi-wavelength suite of instruments. We have optical, we have infrared, we have near UV, we have X-ray. So that means you are able to probe different temperature layers of the atmosphere of the sun with this multi-wavelength remote sensing telescope. And in addition, we'll also have in-situ instruments. The particles, the mass which is coming from the sun, it is traveling through this interplanetary space. And eventually, it will come to near Earth. And the Earth near environment is filled with now space assets. You know, we have plenty of satellites. Sure. We are now thinking of even in future go to the moon. So all these can be directly affected by the solar energetic particles
Okay, I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. Go across to Pallav Bagla, who joins us at this stage. Pallav, let's start at the very beginning. The rocket itself, we're talking about the sun already. Tell us about the rocket first.
Oh, we have a magnificent rocket which will take India's solar observatory to the point where it should. India is using the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle, which is our workhorse rocket. It has an excellent record, and on Saturday, the launch should be good. And this is not a very heavy satellite, and that's why they are using a rocket which will take it as good as an orbit they want. And the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle has really done remarkably well in the past. If the satellite were heavier, they would have used the Launch Vehicle Mark III. But the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle will do its job well. It has to finally go and settle 1.5 million kilometers away. But that the satellite will do.
Okay. Mr. Bhandari, what is India trying to do with the data that we collect over here? What are we looking for any... are we looking to sort of get data to prove certain theories? Or is this pure science?
You see, sun is a very mysterious object. It's a sphere of gas. And one would expect that it is all mixed up, but that is not true. It has a layered structure. So we have a photosphere, we have chromosphere and corona. And one of the mysteries about it is that corona has a very high temperature, higher than the chromosphere. So how does it happen that we don't understand fully? There are some theories which Aditya 1 will try to prove. And how this mass ejection, you know, they are so big, sometimes as big as the size of the Earth. They come and engulf the whole Earth. They keep on moving in the interplanetary space. How they are produced, we don't understand about their origin. So these are the main objectives to study chromosphere and corona and the mass ejections, how they take place, how they originate. And this is all the play of plasma and the magnets. The sun has a very high magnetic field, and that is what is playing a very important role. So we want to understand that. And of course, Aditya has another objective to study the plasma in the vicinity of the Earth. You know, 1.5 million kilometers is not that far. Sun is about 150 million kilometers away. So it's actually nearby. But what particles come as solar wind? You see, there are solar wind, there are solar flares, which come occasionally, and solar wind is continuously flowing in. Mm-hmm. 1 million particles per square centimeter per second. Every second, so many particles come. So how do they come? How they change with the solar cycle? All this is a scientific study of great value. And with Aditya mission, we hope to resolve some of the problems and understand the basic science behind these phenomena, which are very mysterious.
Professor Raju, you know, it's going to be quite complicated in terms of where we want to position the Aditya probe. It's going to be at the Lagrange point. That's what L1 stands for. For the benefit of our viewers, how do we get there?
Oh, thank you, Vishnu Swam, for having me here. And it's tremendous orbital dynamics have gone into this decision of the route. The ISRO has considering the rocket that's being used, and then the mass it can lift off, and it has come out with a fantastic orbital route, and it has been proven time and again successful. You know, we have seen from the Chandrayaan 1, 2, and 3, and of course the Mars mission. So it all boils down to the orbital dynamics and taking into account how we get the spacecraft or the rocket out of the gravity of the Earth and in the right direction, the right time, and then see that it gets captured in the next planetary object's gravity. But in this case here, it's a very interesting factor here in Lagrange point. There's no one, you know, unlike the Moon or Mars, you know, there is no orbit insertion here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there has been, you know, an interesting estimate and calculations have been made. And again, when we say Lagrange point, it's not a point per se. It's a kind of a region wherein even once the satellite is placed there, it will be kind of, you know, it's a halo orbit. It will be just, you know, orbiting in a very, you know, circular fashion in that region. So it's a tremendous, you know, feat in terms of the mechanisms, in terms of the calculations and putting it there at the L1 point.
Okay. Pallav, has the ISRO team been able to get enough sleep for the mission? They've just started dealing with Chandrayaan. And Pragyan, the rover, keeps sending back all sorts of data. We're getting all sorts of pictures. We'll talk about that now. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they've got a finite number of engineers and scientists at that level. So they've got a lot of work this month, right?
Oh, certainly. It's relentless work for them. But fortunately, see, there are different teams which do it. There is a satellite team which did the Chandrayaan job, because the rocket job was done many, many weeks ago, July 14, that got over. Since then, the campaign for the PSLV launch for Aditya started. So there are different teams which do it. But yes, there are some overlaps. And like you, many people in ISRO have probably not slept for a long time. It's relentless work, Vishnu. And the Pragyan rover and the Vikram lander keep us busy throughout the day and night, because Pragyan and Vikram don't have sleep. They don't sleep. It's 14 days of continuous light. And now, after the moon embrace, it is going to be, like you said rightly, a sun dance. So moon walk to sun dance, and all happening within days. And let's not forget the significance of this. The moon mission happened when the Prime Minister was at BRICS, just a few days ahead of the G20. India is attempting sending the solar observatory, and I'm sure it's going to play out on the minds of the 40-plus leaders who turn up in New Delhi. So these are very significant milestones, sure, in India's journey, and all heading towards a developed nation soon.
No, interesting. Deepankar Banerjee, let's talk a little bit about the Pragyan rover, which has now gone and discovered sulfur on underneath the lunar surface. And not just that, many other chemicals as well. We've got a graphic, in fact, which we can play off that. So we'll do that. But just what is the significance of the discovery of sulfur?
Yeah, so people are looking at, you know, all unknown elements. So this was not probably anticipated earlier that we'd be even seeing sulfur. So this particular instrument, which is this laser-induced spectroscopy instrument, which, you know, bombards some laser into certain soil and then gets the reflected emission from that to get a feel about the composition of this. So I think, and that too, particularly in the, as you know, in the polar region, this has not been tested before. So the chemical composition of the polar region and its new element identification, different ionization states, different temperature sensitivities, all these are going to give a completely new picture. And of course, you know, the final aim is to look for, water. So in a way, all these composition identification, new element identification will be quite crucial in the subsequent studies. So as you have projected here, yes, this is the spectrum. And then in the spectrum, you see all these different elements which comes into the camera. Essentially, there is a CCD camera which is used for all imaging. So here it is a spectra which is imaged from the reflected laser beam. And these particular elements are identified from those reflected light from those areas. So it's quite significant because we are for the first time getting new compositional history.
Bring that graph back up, have it up full screen, And let's get Professor Raju to talk us through this. Professor, what are the various elements that we're able to find, or substances we're able to, minerals we're able to find on the surface of the moon, and what exactly are we looking at it over here from this sensor?
What it is showing is the kind of, you know, again, I should say that this is a tweet that has come from ISRO. So you are whatever you are seeing is that's the information I have. I don't have much further on this. But the way this works is, you know, the laser light is sent out, and then the and different elements have different you know, transition, different ways in which the photons fall from one energy state to another, and that's how you get the spectrum out of it. And in the similar fashion, there is another experiment called the alpha particle X-ray spectrometer that also, you know, it does it this in a different fashion with and there also, you know, there are a lot of element basically identify. It's a kind of fingerprinting in the sense that, you know, in the atoms and molecules or elements, they have a particular energy levels, and you can really pinpoint that that's it. But then the issue is that in terms of there are multiple, you know, in terms of compounds, there could be overlap of the lines. So that's why, you know, crucial analysis. I think this is, I believe this is a first.
No, absolutely. It's a lot of key analysis will
be shown by the,
We'll need to go into that. I'm only interrupting you now because I'm running short on time on this program. And I thought it would be interesting to actually end this program with a look at what, in the words of our foreign minister, several international leaders and countries are saying with regard to Chandrayaan. Let's take a look and wrap up this program. We'll be back tomorrow.